SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back and about 20 minutes plus into hour two after a fun visit. Scott Fiedler, whose brother Jay, you remember as the Washington NFL team, and also Dolphins too, right? Dolphins and Skins? I think, where else did Jay Fiedler play him? I'm going to have to look up Jay's, pull out Jay's football card. But Scott with a $250,000 score. Unbelievable. The story didn't include Swiss Skydiver. He went after Bonnie South, but certainly Swiss Skydiver's victory is worth talking about. 1.25 miles, and the daughter of Daredevil, who is now unavailable to American breeders. Sid Fernando, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you? Yes, I was just looking up Swiss Skydiver, too. Interesting. The dire is gone.
It's unbelievable, and we she was making this story earlier in the year too, and we've brought up the fact that Daredevil was exported, and then promptly started to get winners. And what strikes me though, Sid, being out of a Johannesburg mare, it just doesn't feel like there's a lot there for a horse to be that successful at 1.8 miles and beyond. What's at work here?
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult with a stallion. Now, remember, Swiss Skydiver is from Daredevil's first crop. Daredevil was sold to Turkey last November, so his 2-year-olds had run. Regardless of what's in a pedigree, you need to see what a sire can really do himself. Before you can, really come to a conclusion. Everything else you can only just guess, which is what people do with first crop sires and so forth. But a lot of times stallions will get into a pattern of development that might even go against their own, race records. For example, Spikestown was a sprinter, a sprint champion, a Breeders' Cup sprint winner. But we know now with multiple crops, I mean, he's an aged stallion, that he's also capable of getting horses that, can win at 1.25 miles as well. So it's very difficult to, try to explain something until you get an idea of what that stallion is showing. And in this particular case, as with the case of Uncle Mo, when he went to, Uncle Mo was thought to have stamina limitations and promptly got a Kentucky Derby winner in his first crop in Nyquist. And now Daredevil, who was primarily a good 2-year-old, although albeit did win the Champagne, he's now gotten a 1.25 grade one winner in his first crop as well.
Kenny was with us yesterday, McPeak, and Kenny cited the fact that there was plenty of stamina as you went down into the female family, including the daughter Clouds of Gold, the daughter of Strike the Gold. There's Cloudy Colors, a personal flag dam, and then there's Get Off My Cloud, the fourth dam. And this is kind of a crazy scenario. Harry Guggenheim, quid pro quo, who was out of a major mare and is from the family of Ack-Ack, but that wasn't the case at the time, and it's a little bit of a curious female family. There's something going on in here, and I mean Johannesburg certainly a useful sire. I'm intrigued by this, and of course, more than ready. We still talk about him as being, Scat Daddy Light, and so he brings lots of different qualities. All of it to say that for $35,000, it's a purchase, Sid, that really it should be inspiring to a lot, people that are in the game that see this, they've got to feel good that, that if they've got a limited budget, it can happen to them.
Yeah, and a few things to touch upon that you noted. First off, I've looked at this pedigree. It's extremely weak. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I noticed that she was bred by Windstar Farm. And this is not a Windstar Farm type of pedigree. Before Swiss Skydiver appeared on the scene, you had to get to the third dam to find your first stakes winner, and that's the Runaway Groom stakes winner, Mr. Business, who won $200,000 the hard way, including the Miracle of Wood Stakes at Laurel. And then after that, you get into the aforementioned Fort Dam, who produced Artie Baby and Sonia Scamp. Not a lot of quality black type. And until you have Swiss Skydiver, Steve, you don't really get any, there's no graded stakes winners in this family. So it's extremely weak. However, and I'll get to the point about Windstar as well, because I did speak to them about it before I was coming on here, and they gave me a little bit about this mare. She's a chestnut mare, very strong build to her average height, but the foals were always well built. A pretty correct mare, but my guess is that I looked it up, they didn't buy this mare. My guess is that they probably took this mare over from a client, and so they were credited with being the breeder, and then they subsequently, obviously, the mare was sold. Nice story about that, Steve, is that she was then sold for, I think, $15,000, talking about getting into the game. And the mare has since been bred this year to Catholic Boy, another son of More Than Ready. And here's one clue in the dam, Expo Gold. I just said she's now been bred to Catholic Boy, a son of More Than Ready, a mile and a quarter winner by More Than Ready. But if you look at Expo Gold, her two best foals are this one, Swiss Skydiver by Daredevil, a son of More Than Ready that's been exported because he was perceived to have not performed well enough with his two-year-olds last year, that they cut him loose even before they had a chance to run at three. The next best foal for this mare is the filly Miss Hot Legs. She stakes place, and she's by Verrazano, another son of More Than Ready, who was cut loose to Brazil. So, two things from here. She's obviously had her best success with More Than Ready Stallion. So that's a good mating to go to Catholic Boy. I know that Windstar did try to get her to come back to More Than Ready this year. But, of course, he was already booked to the aforementioned Catholic boy. But if there's anything that you can glean from this pedigree, and, you know, you can look all you want for her stamina. There's, you know, she's got some distant inbreeding to Halo. But the one thing that does hit you right away is this affinity she seems to have for Sons of More Than Ready, with her only two, you know, good folds by Sons of More Than Ready. So, yeah, that's all I can say about it. She's so much better. I think she's found a way to win at a mile and a quarter. She's a really legitimate filly that has obviously the form lines between her and the top of the class. I mean, Speech and Gamine, you know, puts her, you know, certainly at a mile and an eighth, if you're looking at the Kentucky Oaks, you know, puts her right there with Gamine, too.
Sid, the tie to More Than Ready is there. I'm just looking. You know, you mentioned the Halo line and the presence, you know, that Daredevil himself was 3x4 with Halo. But is there a cross in here that is recognizable or notable?
You know, I haven't really. It's not something that strikes me as being a massive cross speed. I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, the More Than Ready Danehill Danzig cross is massive, but you don't, you don't really think about a More Than Ready Hennessy cross, which is Hennessy being the sire of Johannesburg. You know, I can't really see. But that's a really good question, and I'm going to look it up while I'm talking to you. But I can't really, you know, off the top of my head, come to any type of conclusion that this is some kind of big cross either.
Hail to Reason.
If you look,
Hail to Reason and Stormbird are the top line, are the two top lines essentially five generations
going back. Yeah, sure. But I'm just gonna take a look at. Right now with More Than Ready, but you've seen this pedigree though, right? I mean, you've seen the catalog style pedigree of it. I mean, it's not a horse that jumps out.
No.
In any way does it jump out at you? You know,
no,
it's.
35,000. I mean, book
and
four.
And it's reflected in that price. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, book four, 35,000. And that actually probably, they probably were happy to get 35,000 at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it just shows you, like you said from the beginning, it's so difficult to, you know, if they were all about most expensive horses, and you do have this really interesting drama kind of building with Gamine and Skydiver, because Gamine's at the other end of the spectrum, you know, 1.8 million purchase versus this 35,000 purchase, won by Gamine by the leading sire of last year and everybody's, you know, favorite, Into Mischief, and the other is by a sire that was exported. I just looked it up, Steve, and this is the first graded winner on the cross. And in Australia, there have been two listed stakes winners by the More Than Ready line stallion Sebring out of Hennessy Mares. So it's not really a big cross, to answer your question.
Well, but, you know, it should be noted that all of the progeny, even before Swiss Skydiver, this mare has gotten multiple winners. She was She's got 147,000 in earnings with that Verrazano filly. By the way, she's also gotten nothing but fillies. And she's got a successful six-time winner by Indigo Shiner. She's got a two-time winner by Bodemeister. I mean, she's throwing runners.
Yeah, she throws. Confirms what Windstar told me about the way this mare looks. Physique, she a very strongly built mare, average height. All her foals were really well built. Got good conformation. Nothing that would say there's something wrong with this mare. So she's got that type of build that gets you runners, and what's not in this family until now is a really good horse. And it's actually something that you look for in a stallion. If a stallion can get a really good horse from a family that's never really had any graded winners. I mean, that was the case with Tappan when he first started off. A lot of your listeners will remember the case of Hanson, that Hanson had no black type in his female family for five generations, and the dam was a one-time $5,000 claimer. And, of course, Tappan got, a top colt like Hanson. So, it bodes well for a horse like Daredevil, who, they cut him obviously loose because they not only perhaps didn't perform to their standards, but they've also gotten a great deal financially from the Turkish Jockey Club. I believe that deal was a deal that also included Bodemeister, who this mare was bred to as well. So I think there was a package deal that the Turkish Jockey Club offered Windstar for those two horses. And, don't forget, Bodemeister was sold to Turkey after getting a Kentucky Derby winner and Always Dreaming.
There's a few things in here that are also notable. First of all, the dam we're talking about, Expo Gold, she was campaigned, bred and campaigned by Avalon Farm, and Eddie Keneally trained the mare, who was a winner at First Asking, and as it happens, and ran five times, two wins. And, Sid, we're getting to that point on the calendar, into the last trimester, where a mare like this, as it happens, she was available for $15,000 in a claiming race at Churchill, May 3rd, Derby Week, May 3rd, 2011. And that was her career finale, as it happens. And she, I guess she missed the breeding season. But, because then she would have had 13, 14, 15, 16. She, for $15,000, people that are supporting stallions. I mean, this could have been a kind of a natural target for an outfit for $15,000. And then, of course, Ken Ramsey made a stallion out of Kitten's Joy doing this, claiming $5,000 and $10,000 and $15,000 mares out of these kinds of races and breeding them left, right, and center for 3 years in a row to Kitten's Joy, and he hit. It's a business in its own right. Finding identifiable candidates, breeding candidates.
Yeah, and I also want to note in this particular pedigree, the second dam. The one you mentioned, Swiss Skydiver's second dam, but the mare Expo Gold dam is that Strike the Gold mare, Clouds of Gold. She was a hard knocking mare, not a stakes winner, but she did earn $330,000 and was graded place several times in Canada. Anyway, she had a daughter named Cloud of Smoke, who's a half-sister to Expo Gold, you know, the mayor we're referencing right now. So Swiss Skydivers Dam, Expo Gold's half-sister, Cloud of Smoke, has produced the stakes place runner by violence in Japan. So there's some black type that's starting to percolate right now. And violence, another young stallion who obviously is having a career year this year at Hillendale with two grade one winning sprinters. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, people that do have stallions, as you pointed out, will take some mares like this because Johannesburg is a good stallion. And you know, give them a shot, breed mares to them, and put them back in the sales.
Yep.
This you know, this particular pedigree is maybe weaker than what Mr. Ramsey was doing, but you know, it's the same type of principle anyway.
Well, Swiss Skydiver
jackpot scores.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's unbelievable.
Jackpot score, yeah.
Well, and we're, you know, we're also we're under reporting the other Daredevil successes. I mean, because as soon as she started to emerge, there came a bunch of others that started to hit.
Yeah, four stakes winners right now.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy.
That's exactly right. I mean, he's got that. What's her name? She Dares the Devil.
She Dares the Devil, who's heading to the Oaks.
Yeah, who won the Honeybee C3. Yeah.
And seems to be, you know, on the improve. He's not the first, and he won't be the last, that was kind of prematurely, you know, where the jury came in a little too soon.
Yeah, and the same farm, Windstar. You know, they sold Take Charge Indy, as you recall, and then his foal started winning. His first crop started, you know, he started getting a bunch of Derby prospects, and they went back and they got him from Korea. So, you know, there's always, you know, if this horse Daredevil starts to, you know, light it up, I'm sure some inquiries will be made. So far, More Than Ready does not have a really good stallion son in this country. You know, as I said, Verrazano was a lot of promise at Ashford, was jettisoned. Daredevil obviously sent without any proof with just the first crop. And you've got, you know, several other nice sons of stud, as I mentioned, Catholic Boys, you know, dual surface graded winner. So he's still got a lot of hope.
Sid, I appreciate the update and the discussion. And we're going to edge closer to Derby. We've got some decisions yet, and I, by the end of the day, maybe you might you might be involved with Cheryl Spite being a Derby runner. Well, it seems like it's edging that way.
Oh, is it pretty close?
It seems pretty close. I mean, it's not going to take much more. It's not going to take too many. I think one defection or two to force the decision on Mr. Fipke and Roger.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, you know, that's they're headed to Churchill one way or the other, either the Pat Day Mile or the Derby. But you know, the goal for them is the Derby. And in fact, he was scheduled to work this morning. You know, he had that sizzling 5 furlongs and 57 over Woodbine Stair training track.
Wow.
6 days ago.
Unbelievable.
Which is crazy because the horse was just going easy, too. And, you know, Mr. 50 really believes that this colt is the best he's ever bred.
Holy, well, the Derby was already intriguing, and if he ends up contesting Derby, it's going to be one of the, one of the big mysteries and interesting decision-making process that that players are going to have. And we'll by the time we talk next week, he may be well set for the field.
Yeah, okay, keep me posted on that, and we'll talk next week. At some point, I'll give you a longer version of the story from the day this horse broke his maiden to how the decision came about. But it's a funny story. I kind of tweeted about it, that I'd talk about it more. But, it's interesting to go back and reflect on it because I talked to Mr. 50 practically every day about this colt.
Well, and it sounds like he and Roger and everybody involved with the team is excited about the prospect of getting him into Derby. Cheryl's Spite seemingly heading for that starting gate of 20 or 19 or however many it's going to be. Sid, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Sid Fernando, everybody. Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. And with the Fasig Tipton and Keeneland September sales now dead ahead as part of the aftermath of Derby, get in touch with Sid as you plan your program for 2021 and beyond. And we'll stay right here because Brian Aragone is standing by. It's a special Minnesota Bred Day at Canterbury, the Oaks and the Derby, part of an all-stakes pick five. Brian, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Pretty exciting day. Made in Minnesota Day with almost $500,000 in purse money, and we'll crown a Minnesota Derby champ and a Minnesota Oaks champ. It's a big day here in Minnesota.
Very cool. And two nice fields, particularly for the three-year-old races. There's also the other three stakes as well. We'll go through the sequence. The first order of business, I know that, further south in the Midwest, the weather has been rough. And Indiana's been off the turf a couple of days. They're off today. How are you guys dealing up there?
I mean, I've been employed now at Canterbury for 6 years, and this is as nice a weather as I can remember. And
sweet.
I'm good friends with Eric Helstrom down in Indiana, and it's unfortunate that they seemingly have had a monsoon for the last month, and up here we can't get any rain even if we wanted it.
Well, good. That means everything is fast and ready for a good dry track, particularly for the three-year-olds. We should mention, as we always do when we update and converse, we look back at the past week. There's been plenty of opportunity, Brian, and the 10%. Takeout pick five continues, even on a day like yesterday, which was chalky. It continues to just outperform the parlay easily.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. On Monday, we had a pretty sequence that was relatively easy to get to. You had 1-6-1 shot at the end of the sequence, and it paid $11,000. Now, last night, we had a heavily laden favorite sequence in there and still paid over $100. It was really actually incredible because it felt like one of those sequences that was going to pay 15 or 20 bucks and it still ended up paying relatively well. So I think you hit the nail on the head that it continues to pay well over that parlay.
Well, the parlay last night would have been $50 and it paid $150. So, I mean, with a 4-5, a 2-1, a 3-2, a 6-5, and then the third choice at 7-2. And you still came out well ahead. It's unbelievable, and we cannot urge people enough to look at the sequences, and we're going to do it right now. Let's talk about this straight sequence of stakes, and it starts with the sales graduate Futurity, the two-year-olds, and this can be a little mysterious because you've got, for instance, a firster from Tim Padilla, who can certainly send one out live.
Yeah, absolutely. And Padilla and Matson have been winning races at an excellent rate so far. By Kila, you would think maybe this horse would run a little more distance than five furlongs, maybe turf in the future as well. But, you know, Tim spots his horses in good spots. So this horse must be training well in the mornings. The workouts say the horse is training well. But Wester Waverly, again, the favorite, was incredibly impressive. The connections have to be thrilled with their two-year-old drawing on the outside and post number seven. You know, they ran too good to lose last time out. That 51-2 was tied for the fastest time in the last 3 years, and they actually got beat by a horse named Fire Extinguisher, who I believe is trained by Padilla and Matson as well. But Wester Waverly was just impressive in defeat, went awfully quick. That one's going to be tough to get around. And then you've also got Well Pro, who didn't get defeated, ran a little bit slower, but was professional in the debut. Didn't get bet at all for Tony Ringstorff and Julio Felix that day. Went off 4-1, but you would have never known it. At the 16th pole, this horse had a high cruising altitude and really leveled off nicely. I think it's between the 3 and the 7, in my opinion.
Well Pro, the 3, 5-2, Wester Waverly, 9-5 to start the sequence. And certainly Wester Waverly, I mean, from a fig standpoint, stands out from this group. Let's look at the 3-year-old races and nice field of 8 in the Minnesota Oaks. And, you know, most of these, quite a few, we've talked about at one point or another during the meet.
Yeah, and these horses tend to go back and forth. They face one another in the Francis Genter. Someone went to the Northbound Pride Oaks. The question mark here is the distance, and this is a race that I want to spread out a little bit. You know, we're going to have some favorites or heavy favorites later on in the sequence, so hopefully we can catch a decent price in here. I'm going to use 2, 3, 4, and 8 on my ticket. No real strong conviction with anyone on top. Rush Hour Traffic is a horse that really impressed me as a 2-year-old, but Sense as a 3-year-old doesn't seem to have developed the way I would have hoped. Tried 5 furlong race. Unique spot. The horse did the 2-year-old dirt racing and then came back in open company turf race. I wasn't sure what to make of that. And then ran second behind the defender. Question mark is the distance. And maybe an oddball like Madisonian could get the distance. Ran a bang-up race at 48. And then had a troubled trip. Any of your listeners planning on playing tonight, I would absolutely recommend checking out Madisonian's replay because there were significant issues throughout that race.
And I'm glad you mentioned it because Madisonian was a horse that caught my eye, you know, back after the win. And as I mentioned, I mean, this is a group that they've all run and they've all, you know, at some place on their PPs they've got races that you know that are solid and you could see and you could project into success in here. That includes somebody like Rental Pool too that is coming out of open company conditional allowance and Defend the Rose out of that race as well. So there's some decisions to make in here, and I'm just it looks like the pace is going to be honest.
Yeah, the pace is honest. Now, with Defend the Rose and Rental Pool, it honestly looks like Defend the Rose has one way to go. Now, Rental Pool right there, but you have a trainer who trains them both, and you also have the same owners in Novogratz Racing Stables. I can't imagine the plan is going to be to send both horses. One of them is going to set a hot pace and play catch me if you can. The other is going to try and sit off the pace and make one run late. I just don't know which one because both of them, on paper, look like the need-to-lead type. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
And I'm just looking. Leslie Mowing didn't have a choice. He didn't have anybody else that he was going to consider, but he takes over from the bug. And so... and also Rental Pool coming in off of a half mile bullet into this a good group I thought in the Oaks. Let's talk about the Derby, the third leg, and we've got a group of nine here for the mile and 70.
Yeah, on one ticket, I'm a big advocate for playing multiple. I'm probably going to go weekend ride. This course was incredibly impressive last time out. The took open company going 6.5 furlongs. And stopping the clock in 1:15 and 3. Whether you believe that time or not, that's up to you. But either way, even if the clock was stopped in 1:16 or 1:16 and a half, that time is legit, and this Minnesotan can really run. The question, again, is going to be the distance. And we've seen in years past, whether it's Made in Minnesota Day or whether it's Festival of Champions Day, some weird things can happen when you add in two turns for the first time, and a lot of these favorites are going to be bet down heavily. So on one ticket, I'll key Weekend Ride, who I do feel is the best horse in the race. And the other ticket, I'll spread out. I think Public Safety is two turns tested. Another one who ran in a game race last time out was beaten, but set some fast fractions, especially for a lightly raced three-year-old who was trying two turns for the first time, was pressured all the way around, went 46-1, won 11-4, which is quick for this group, and still held on really well and was actually three lengths clear of the third-place finisher who returned to run well last night. It's a race where I'm going to key Weekend Ride on one ticket, but probably use the 2, 3, 8, and 9 on different tickets. The Maiden in here is really stakes-tested in the past. Looks like a horse who wants more distance. Finally gets to stretch out today. We'll see if My Name is Prince can pop at a price.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the 9, Little Ninja, and is going to have to, Lindsay's going to have to work out a little bit of a trip from out there, and is stretching out, so you get the sense that the Chad will have to go forward with Little Ninja. But that performance in the Stallion Auction Stake at the end of July, if this one can stretch out, Little Ninja got a shot in here and should be a decent middle price, too. Should be his 9-2 morning line, and I think you'll get every bit of that, no?
I agree, and I think the price could drift up. I do think they're gonna key in that Weekend Ride a little bit more heavy than 5-2. That one's going to be more like even money or so. But something that you don't necessarily see in the form with Little Ninja is he's smoking now. The winner of that MTA Stallion Auction Stakes was a Gerald Bennett trainee who had shipped in from stakes racing at Tampa and was 1-9 and ran like a 1-9 shot. So Little Ninja, or many of these others, have been knocking heads with Minnesota breds. Little Ninja took on a very tough field last time out, a Gerald Bennett trainee who shipped in to win, and Little Ninja was right there when it was all said and done.
Nice. And, you know, there's also an interesting price player in here. Love My Boss is, to me, not impossible, and you know, has got form in Ohio that might stand up here, and I'm intrigued a little bit by Love My Boss.
Yeah, you'll be on your own, at least from my standpoint, with that one. Then went to Bill Morey, saw Hawthorne, Churchill, Oney, then Thistle Downs, now finally makes his way back to Minnesota. This horse has been all over, changed hand multiple times, and I guess that would take the wait-and-see approach, but if you look at it, you know, Wade Rarick's had his hands on this horse for a while and has two works over the track, and both works are good as well.
Yeah, that race two back. This is second off of a layoff. He raced up through February, and then you mentioned Radosevich at Thistledown, but that race at Mahoning Valley, that allowance performance, that'll stand up from a fig standpoint. Love My Boss as a player, just putting it out there. Let's go to the late double, and we've got smaller groups here. The Wally's Choice and the Glitter Star close it out.
Yeah, I mean, this is an incredible race. Maybe not so much from a betting standpoint. It's hard to get around Hot Shot Kid, but
yeah,
the testament to where Minnesota breeding has come from and where it's hopefully going in the future. This is an incredibly talented field. I know it's not going to excite many bettors. It's a $50,000 race and only a field of six with a legit 4-5 shot. But the talent in this group is incredible to be. It's a race that I'm just going to certainly admire and just appreciate what these horses have done on the racetrack. Dom Plata is in career form right now, and I thought long and hard about putting that one on top versus Hot Shot Kid. It just seems like Hot Shot Kid, he's a game old racehorse. He knows where the wire is. He knows what the job is, and he simply loves to win. Not always pretty. Sometimes on the wrong lead. Sometimes under an all out drive. But he seems to get up every single time. But this is a talented group, and a mile and a 16th, things can get a little funny. And Dom is in career form right now. He's won three out of the last four, and the only loss came against Hunk of Burning Love, who's a legit foe down at Will Rogers Down. And so, I mean, this race is wide open. Again, on another ticket, I'll probably single Hotshot Kid. On my other ticket, I'll try and go deep and see if we can't get an overlay.
Well, and I'm surprised you didn't mention Cinco Star at all, who, you know, has been very consistent, is going to have to stretch out. But in the one previous time going about the mile and a 16th, he's got a placement. I mean, is more of a sprinter, but that's also true of Hotshot Kid. I thought Cinco Star was probably a B or a C on tickets, depending on how much you're putting into the pick five. We close it out with the $50,000 Glitter Star, a mile and a 16th, the Minnesota bred fillies and mares.
Yeah, I remember July 27th pretty fondly. You know, it was a losing day for me, and I tried to get cute in the nightcap, and I thought, you know what, maybe Pinup Girl can be ready to run away. Let's try Pinup Girl for a get-out race. And about, you know, two furlongs into the race, I was ready to walk out to my car, because what Ready to Run Away has been able to do is just incredible. This is going to be a standalone free space on the bingo card. I'm going to get creative with my pick fives. Now, it sounds like it's chalk-laden. You've got singles everywhere. But I might play a $2 pick five or a $5 pick five and try and hit this thing multiple times. And then if it does pay better than the parlay, you know, all of a sudden that chalk-filled $150 ticket could pay $1,000 or so if you have it enough time. So I'm going to be Ready to Run Away on top. You know, $25,000 claims don't rattle off six stake victories here. And this seems to be you know, the ATM that just keeps on giving. She's been unbelievable with how well she's done since that claim, and she really couldn't have won any easier in the prep race for this one. Stevie there?
I'm back here. All right? Thanks. Is Brian still there? Or is he, did he hang up? Yeah, that was mine. That was my line. There we go.
Hello?
That was my line that dropped. Hey, Bri, that was my, I got dropped somehow, and so I was just, give us a final thought. Ready to Run Away, any chance that Pinup Girl could, or anybody else that could run with her?
Sure. I'm not sure what you had heard last time out, but, you know, July 27th, I was down a bit, and I was chasing my tail a little bit, and I made the mistake of thinking Pinup Girl could run with Ready to Run Away, and about halfway through the backside, I was already walking to my car, because Ready to Run Away has been so impressive. This horse has been incredible. For a $25,000 claim to rattle off five stakes victories, and the sky's really the limit for her. She's going to face this group for years to come. She's only a four-year-old filly, but she's dominated older. I overthought it last time. I'm not going to overthink it this time. I am going to single Ready to Run Away. But as I stated, I'm not sure if you guys caught it or not, but I'm going to play my pick five probably for $2, maybe $3. Try and turn that pick five that pays better than the parlay into potentially a decent payout. If it pays $100, $150, maybe even higher than that, if we get some upsets, then all of a sudden you can be looking at maybe $1,000.
I love it, and I think it makes sense. Spread a little bit in the stakes races, in the 2-3-year-old stakes races, and lean heavily on Hotshot Kid and Ready to Run Away, and you could even go a little light in the first leg. But it's a fun night of racing. The stakes sequence starts at 8:10. Eastern, and if you're not following Brian Aragone, you should be, and that's Mr. B_CBY analyst, Mr. B underscore CBY analyst. And the action from Canterbury continues. Brian, we'll be watching and betting tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and best of luck.
Brian Aragone does a terrific job. And I think that, you know, with the attention that Canterbury's getting, I think people are enjoying his coverage. And I tell you, Brian likes to bet. you could just tell, you know, you could just tell listening to him about, you know, particularly about the beats. But his analysis that comes with the, oh, there's them. I printed the PPs a second time, and because I couldn't find, I thought I had printed them. So there we go. All right, we're in good shape. We're going to stay here, and Andy Beyer is going to join us next. And of course, the story that has emerged over the last several weeks, and we had, you know, we had had conversations with Dave Siegel and Jason Wilson as they developed this GPS system, the GMAX, and the concept being that it would not only augment the beam, the teletiming beam, but it also long term they hope to let it contribute to the tracking of workouts and the timing of works and the internal fractions of races and works. I mean, there's a lot of upside involved in this product and in the concept, but right now the execution appears to be somewhat vexing, and figure makers like Andy Beyer and Mark Hopkins and their team are struggling with what appears to be, you know, real discrepancies between what the GPS is reporting and then, you know, what the charts end up producing. Bill Finley wrote about it yesterday. We talked about it Monday with Matt Hegarty as well.